Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I feel, honestly, though, talking to you about this makes me feel like I'm finally stepping up into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, investing and saving properly.
Hello, and welcome to the Financials Podcast, Future Rich. I am your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am a certified financial planner, also known as a CFP. And I am here with my guest, Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
I'm super pumped to have you on the show.
I'm so happy and excited to be here.
So have you been a listener?
Yeah. I don't know when I started listening, but I've definitely listened to more than like 5 episodes.
Very nice. Well, okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I'm Lynn. I am 27 years old. I live in the greater Phoenix area. I recently relocated from Southern California. And I actually work as a territory sales rep for a consumer product goods company.
I don't think I've had anyone in Arizona yet.
Oh, really? Well, I'm happy to be the first.
You're the first from Arizona. So did you move there for the job, from Southern California for the job, or did you move there because you wanted to? Just curious.
It was kind of a mixture of both. Kind of complicated story. So technically, when I started in my role, my territory is Southern California. But during COVID, we had some people leave our team, and so territories opened. So I kind of picked up more territory, including Arizona. And I actually was coming up on my, like the 3-year mark where my company, in which they like help subsidize rent and expenses for high cost of living areas. So I was like, why don't I just move since they're not paying me to stay here anymore? I have more territory. But honestly, last week I just found out I'm just going to be back in Southern California as far as my job goes. So right now it's kind of a mess, but, what was that?
I said, oh, no, so they're going to put you, like, your territory is going to be basically Southern California now?
Yeah, it's back to Southern California, but we're still work from home. So for now, they're okay with me still being in Arizona.
Well, so maybe you can, like, make the most of it for a little bit since it might not be a long-term move.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird, too, because I think they gave me, like, a year before they would look to have me back in Southern California. But I'm actually planning on going to grad school in 1.5 years. So I'm just going to stretch it to 1.5 years and then I'll be leaving and it won't be an issue.
I like it. Cool. And then single, married, kids, any of that?
I'm single, but I do live with my boyfriend.
So did he relocate with you or was he already there?
It's this story is so funny now that I'm telling it. Pre-COVID was actually sent by his job to work in Arizona for a couple of months. But then the company's based in California. once COVID happened, they actually kind of like furloughed him. So he went back to California because that's where he was living. And then once everything kind of opened up again, his job wanted him to go back, but it was kind of up to him. And so I guess it was kind of a mutual decision for both of us to move together to Arizona. We weren't living together in California though. So we kind of like moved to another state and started living together. So it kind of worked out for both of us job-wise, at least for what at the time.
Wow, man, COVID has really thrown like a wrench into everything for you guys, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, the good thing is, you know, we moved in together. So it kind of worked out for the best for us, at least right now.
Very nice. Okay, perfect. All right, so tell me a little bit about your finances. Like how much do you make, some of your savings, your debt?
Yeah, so I make a base salary of about almost $67,000. But because I'm in sales, my salary is split into 80% base salary and 20% commission. So basically, if I meet my sales quota and if I don't necessarily exceed it, I have the ability to make an extra $16,000 on top of my base salary. And I kind of looked at the past few years just to see what that turned out to be. So, for example, in 2019, I actually made $76,000, which means I didn't meet my quota every single quarter. But okay. In 2020, I made $89,000, which meant I like met my quota for at least most of the year. So it kind of varies, but I try to live on my base salary. And then the commission is just extra.
Fantastic. And then tell me a little bit about debt.
So I actually have no debt. I became debt-free in July of last year, July 2020. So yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, great. That makes things easy, huh?
Yeah, it does. And now it's the whole savings investing. Am I doing enough? What am I saving for? And I think that's a little panicky, to be honest.
Okay, cool. Let's go through that. So I always like to find out, what do they offer you with work in terms of work, retirement or benefits?
Okay. So they offer, I guess it's not standard for everyone, but 401k match 100% up to 5%.
Oh, great.
But they also do this thing, which I don't think I actually truly understand. They give like a 3% in addition to like a retirement account. I don't really know what it is. I don't really know where it goes.
Is it a profit sharing?
No, it's not, because I don't get profit sharing because I'm in sales. I don't know what it is, but it's there.
But they give you 3%, and they don't put it in the 401k.
That's the thing I don't know. I think it's somewhere like I don't know. Sorry. I don't want to lie or make something up.
No, that's okay. So it sounds like they give you an additional 3%. And do you know if it's, well, I guess if it's not in the 401k, is it another work retirement or is it like an HSA, like for health?
HSA. I don't know. I have a feeling it's, I think because when they transitioned from being pension offering, they just. So it might just be 3% that you get automatically. You don't necessarily have to contribute to get it. Whereas the 5%, that's a match situation. I should really learn more, but I think it might go into a 401k. It's just kind of hard to track. They just conclude it all in like the little online thing. And we don't have a good, I shouldn't be a good one. I don't like who we use to look at who holds our 401ks or whatever. They're not good about being transparent.
I feel like most of them are terrible about it. If you want to pull your year-end statement and send it to me, I can try and look through it and see what's going on.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The year-end statement usually gives a good overview. And sometimes it's kind of, I don't want to say it's in the fine print because it's not, but you can go through some of the line items and kind of see what's going on. But it's great they have a match, and I'm not surprised they got rid of the pension if they originally had that. You know, pensions are far and few between these days. But are you taking advantage of the company match, the 5%?
Yeah. So right now I'm putting 15% in, but I'm doing a Roth 401k.
Very good. Okay, great.
My company, the match goes into a 401k, like pre-tax though.
Yeah, that's okay. It's still free money. And then you do 100% of your your contribution is the Roth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. And how much do you have in there now?
So I have about, let me check for you, because I get paid the last day of the month. So I changed. Oh,
so you paid monthly?
Yes. When the company was always monthly, but in California it was two times a month. But when I moved back to Arizona, I had to go back to monthly because the state doesn't regulate it. So it's kind of.
So I started out my career getting paid monthly, and I feel like that's how I learned to do my budgeting and everything. And so I'm always like, what do you get paid monthly? And people are like, I get paid every 2 weeks. I'm like, I know, but what is it monthly? Because I've just like trained myself to do everything monthly, because for so many years I lived on a monthly budget because I got paid monthly.
Yeah. It the first time it happened, like when I first started the job, I wasn't in California yet, and it took a lot of getting used to. And then I only had it for like 4 months, moved to California. And then I guess the state regulates that people have to get paid like twice a month. So I had to learn how to budget differently. And now I'm back to monthly, and I think it's easier. It's like less transactions. It's like one and done type thing, but
I feel like it's whatever you get used to. So I got used to it. So I liked it because I knew, it was one, this is what I have for the month, because all your bills are monthly, right? Like your rent is monthly, like everything else is monthly. So for me, it was really easy from a budget standpoint. I got paid once a month, and I had all my bills were like monthly bills. None of my bills were like the other week.
Yeah. I started to do that thing because my rent in California was so high, where I would just put half of the rent each paycheck. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you would save for your rent from each paycheck.
Yeah, like just do like half and half, because my rent would be more than one, and like would be more than one paycheck.
Oh my God, really?
In California, yeah. It's so expensive. But anyways, to answer your question, I currently have $53,500 in my 401k. Well, that's the 401k and the Roth together. I don't separate them when I track them.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Okay, great. And then do you have any other investments? Do you have an emergency fund or anything else?
Yeah, so I have an emergency fund right now. That's about $6,300. I have an HSA, and I think in October of last year, I was finally like, okay, stop using it for expenses and kind of use it as a like investment pool or whatever. So I have like $1,600 there. Then I have a Roth IRA, which I'm trying to max 2021. That's like my goal. I just maxed 2020 yesterday when I got paid. So I'm like very excited. Right now I have like $9,700 there. And then I have some one-off brokerage that has like $250 in it. I don't know how I got that money.
That one just like appeared.
I don't know. I think because when I first started my company, I used to buy like the stock. But then I sold some of it to become debt-free, to like help me become debt-free early. And I think that was the part that I couldn't share or sell. And it's just been sitting there ever since. It's invested, but you know, I'm not.
But it's in company stock. That makes total sense.
I don't know what I did. It's actually in an index fund. I don't know how I think I was playing with it. I probably figured out a way. I don't know. Let me stop. I don't know what I did.
Well, okay, great. So we have no debt. You have good income. It sounds like if you just moved in with your boyfriend, did your like expenses go down? What do your expenses look like?
Yeah. So actually, it's about the same as it was my last year in California because I got a roommate. But so right now, expenses wise, like my rent, my half of the rent is like $700. Utilities, probably all of them together, including phone, internet, all that, once we split it in half, is about $200, or at least that's what I budget. I'm expecting it to be higher in the summer because, you know, it's Arizona I love air conditioning. Outside of that, my food, together we budget $400. So I guess I should say we do everything 50-50 and our finances are like completely separate. But we do, everything is 50-50. So food budget for both of us is 400. So 200 from me. And then I budget about $250 for like fun money for myself. So I could spend it on whatever, hair products or whatever. But I usually buy stuff I don't need, to be honest. Currently I have braces. So I budget about $225 a month for that, which is a lot, I know, but I want to have straight teeth one day. I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, I should mention, for my job, I get use of a company vehicle. But the key to that is if I want to use it for personal use, there is a monthly fee. So I pay about $160 a month to use it like for personal reasons, which would be errands or whatever. And if I go over a certain amount of mileage, I do pay tax on my use if I go over like a certain amount.
Okay. Oh, well, that's nice that you get, I mean, I feel like that's a good deal, the $160 a month for the car. Okay, so your expenses aren't too high given your income.
No, I think it's intentional though.
Okay, so talk to me about what your goals are. I mean, you're doing a great job with you're putting in 15% to the 401k and they're matching 5%. You're putting 20% into the 401k, which is fantastic. You're doing it all in Roth, which I'm super impressed with because for the listeners, you've always probably heard me, if I'm having trouble getting people up to the desired savings goal, I usually use the pre-tax option just because it's more palatable, you know, to not miss as much in your paycheck. So I'm super impressed you're doing it all in Roth. And in addition to it, then you're doing the Roth outside of work too. So double whammy.
Yeah, I think I'm overcompensating because I'm afraid that I won't have enough later, to be honest. I think the big thing for me right now is I do plan on going to grad school. And I'm looking to get my MBA. And the reality is I feel like I might end up going into debt student loan wise again, just to fund it. And I think I'm trying to balance like saving for retirement, but also saving for school. Because I don't think there's any way possible I could save enough for full tuition in a year and a half, you know. So my goal is to academically at least get a full tuition scholarship and then maybe fund my living expenses in cash. But right now my expenses are low, but I'm sharing them with someone else. And, you know, I plan on moving outside of Arizona for the MBA, and it's still TBD on if he'll be moving with me. So I may not have the ability to share the expenses or something like that. So I'm just trying to figure out what I should be doing in preparation for that.
So what I would do is with whatever you have left over monthly, and you're very efficient with your budget. So after you do, you could still do the Roth, and you could do the Roth at work. And then what you have left over, I would put in just to your emergency fund so you have more cash, because moving is expensive and then you're going to need some money for living expenses. I think that it's really nice to be debt-free, and I think you need to be strategic with the MBA that it's going to increase your earning potential. Mm-hmm. So if you are going to consider taking loans, I think you need to do the return on that investment, because you're in a really good spot right now. So if you're, let's say, so last year you made $89,000. So with your MBA, then you would have to figure out what it's going to cost you, right? Hopefully you get a free ride. That would be amazing. But if you need to go into a little bit of debt for it, what's the desired outcome, right? So like, what are you willing to spend? What's the return on those dollars going to be when you come out of grad school? So like, are you going to be able to make like $150,000 when you come out? What, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's the hard part. I don't know.
What's the impetus for the MBA?
So I'm in sales and it kind of fell into my lap. It's not something I thought I was going to do. And it's fun sometimes, but overall, I don't want to do it. Okay. But I love the industry I'm in. And so, I mean, I networked with people. If I wanted to go into marketing or strategy or something, I'm looking at brand marketing right now and eventually general management and leadership. I've been told straight to my face, like, after a certain level, you need an MBA or you just won't be marketable to get these jobs. Like, I'll cap at a job level. And kind of going back to what you said, I want the earning potential post MBA, but if I'm going to be capping, you know, at a certain point, I'm just not going to be able to make more money, at least in that industry, in marketing or even in leadership. I won't be able to get to leadership, I guess I should say. However, with that being said, people post MBA going into the roles I'm looking at, from what I've seen, generally make about 120 to 130. I think the people who make the big money are the consultants, of course. Yeah. But with that being said, so, I mean, it's not a huge difference from where I am, but I only make enough how do I say this? I only make a good amount of money if my commission is good. And that means if sales are good, and right. that's very variable. So that's the concerning part for me. It's like, yeah, I made 80 or almost 90 last year, but next year it could be literally just my base salary, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I've always worked sales. So I 100% understand. Another thing, because I like to be scrappy. I like to not spend if you don't have to. Have you thought about, would your company sponsor you for an MBA, getting your company to pay for it?
Yeah, they would if I did part-time. But I think it would just take me twice as long to do it. And then I would have to commit additional years.
Yes.
And
I don't know. You to pay if they pay for it.
From my experience, I've been with my current company about almost 4 years. And just from what I've seen, it's, and I'm in the field, right? I'm a field rep. I'm not at headquarters. So it's just it's harder to do the work of networking your way up and doing that kind of thing where you're physically distant. And I know COVID changed that. But I just don't know. I would probably have to be in my same role for those, 4 years until I get the MBA and then make a change. And I honestly don't want to be in my current role more than the year and a half I have before I started school. So I've thought about that, but I just don't want to sign on for 6 years of my life to my company. Yeah,
that's totally fair. Okay, so then I think what your idea is then will be good. Try and see if you can get a full tuition, and then I would save more in your emergency fund to help cover cost. And even if you had to maybe pick up like a side hustle or something while you're in school, just to help supplement your income.
Yeah.
The only other thing I was thinking to be a year and a half, I'm like hesitant to say this.
Did you know that Future Rich offers 3 online classes in partnership with SUNY Ulster? Well, you're in luck, we do. We have our Future Rich Signature course, our Student Loans course, and our brand new Social Security course. All of these classes can be found on our website at www.futurerichpodcast.com.
But you could do, if you didn't want to do the Roth for 2021, you could do a traditional for 2021, and then you could convert it while you're in grad school.
Walk me through what that does.
So if you did the traditional and you did $6,000 for 2021 into a traditional IRA, you would get a $6,000 tax break, right? And then when you're in grad school, we'll just say in 2023, where you have no, we'll say you're just doing a side hustle, or we'll just say you're babysitting for cash, right? Or nannying for cash while you're in your MBA program. So you don't have anything on the books. So your income for that year from the IRS standpoint is zero. So then that year you would take your traditional IRA and you would convert it over to a Roth IRA. So essentially you say to the government, I'm willing to pay the taxes today on my traditional IRA money to make it a Roth. You do the entire amount because you're under 59 and a half, so you don't withhold anything for taxes because that would be treated as an early distribution. So you move this $6,000 from traditional 100% into Roth IRA. You then are going to get a tax form at the end of that year, you know, for your tax filing that's going to state you had $7,000 of IRA distributions because you converted it, and you would pay tax, $6,000 because you're under 50, you would pay tax on that $6,000. But if you have no earnings that year because you're in MBA school, there's no tax, or there would be little to no tax. You have to consult an accountant is my disclaimer, but in theory, high arching overall concept of it is you move it from the traditional to the Roth, you pay tax the following year when you file with your tax form that they provide you. And hypothetically, if you have no income, there should be very little tax due.
Okay.
You got the tax break in the year. We'll just say in theory this year, we think you're going to make 90. You got a tax break, you know, when you needed it because you're in a high bracket if you're making 90,000 as a single filer. And then you converted it when you were in a low bracket.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That's a lot. I would have to like actually be paying attention. Okay. That's good to know.
And I would totally recommend having your accountant or a CPA or an advisor help you with it. I just wanted to give you the concept of it. It's like, so we know you're in a high bracket now. We know you're going to be in a low bracket in the future because you've committed to going to school. So then rather than doing an after-tax contribution now, make it a pre-tax contribution, save a little bit of money on taxes today, and then move it over when you're in the lower bracket, which is going to be in the very near future.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Unless something, anything can change. That's the hard part about personal finance, right? You know, we're planning for the future, but we don't have all the future's information. So, but I would say with an MBA, if you're going to school full time, you should be making, you'll be making less than 90,000, even if you pick up a side job, which I would highly recommend just to have some money to help cover living expenses. But if you get like a waitressing job or a nanny job or something like that, it could be predominantly cash.
Yeah. Okay, let me run this by you because this is what I was thinking. So for 2021, like stay on the plan that I'm currently at. And then 2022, like the fall is when I would enter into a program. So I'd be working for the first half of the year.
Okay.
So my thought process was don't contribute to retirement at all or to a Roth and just save everything for those 6 months, like anything extra.
Mm-hmm.
And just like become cash heavy.
Yes.
And then go into the program with at least, you know, like the beefed up emergency fund and living expenses and stuff.
Correct.
So you think that's a good idea?
I think that's a good idea. And then what you could do for your 2021 contribution, if you want, with the help of a CPA, is you could do the pre-tax IRA and then convert it in 2023.
In 2023, yeah. I should mention,
you might get some tax money back then. In your 2022 return.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I've already started contributing to the 2021 in the Roth IRA, though. So does that matter? Does the traditional have the same limit as a Roth?
It does. That's a great question. Oh. So if depending on what you're putting in, so let's just say you already put $1,000 into your Roth, you could do then $5,000 into the pre-tax.
Is there any point where it doesn't make a difference, like or I guess a big enough difference, like for example, I've already put $3,500 into 2021, so I'm, you know, I'm pinning $2,500. Do you think that's even worth it?
I would say probably not. I would agree with you. I don't think it's worth it then.
Okay, I should have talked to you before I got paid yesterday.
It's okay. The one thing you could see if you wanted to is about changing the contribution. Sometimes they can like recharacterize it is the financial word for it. But it just depends on how much of a headache you want to go through, I guess, at that point and versus what you could save. So here's what I would do. I would ask your accountant, because I have to give that disclosure, what you would save if you did, you know, if your income was the same for 2021 as it was for 2020. And you did $6,000 in traditional versus the Roth, and they could tell you what the savings would be. Like they'll say you'll get $1,000 back on your return or something like that. Or they might say it's not going to make enough of a difference. And then I would use that to make the decision.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Because if they say it's only going to be $300, you might say, you know what, I can just save that by budgeting and I'd rather not go through the hassle. If they say it's like you're going to get $1,500 back in your tax return, well, then maybe it's worth it.
Okay. That's super helpful. And yeah. I assume there's no like time limit to convert from traditional to Roth.
It has to be for the calendar year. So if you were going to change your contribution this year, that's called a recharacterization. So the sooner you do it, the better, just because they have to, just to make it a little bit cleaner so you can track it, it would be better to do it sooner. And then for the conversion needs to be done in the calendar year. So for instance, a conversion is different than a contribution. And notice the word difference, right? Conversion versus contribution. The Roth IRA contribution can be done, like you could have just done your 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Even though we're in 2021. That doesn't work with the conversion. The conversion needs to be completed in the calendar year. So if you were going to do a conversion in 2023 when you're in grad school, you would have to complete it by December 31st of 2023 for it to count for that year, which is your low income.
Okay.
Yeah, so you love the words. We have recharacterization, we have conversion, we have contribution, and they wonder why people get confused.
Yeah. No, it's so funny. I feel, honestly, though, talking to you about this makes me feel like I'm finally stepping up into, like, the nitty-gritty of, like, investing and saving properly. You know, I got on the trend of, okay, do the Roth, but this is how you really make the most of, I guess, your money. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's all about knowing that there is a contribution and then there is a conversion and then trying to maximize it, right? Like trying to take advantage of what's going to be in your best interest from an investment standpoint, and then also a tax standpoint, right? Right. You are in a high tax bracket, but we see the future where we think we're going to be in a low bracket for potentially 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. That's super helpful. That's a lot to think about.
It is a lot to think about. And then with your, what you should do, this is something you should definitely write down is on your to-do list for 2023. As you mentioned, your company is contributing their dollars pre-tax and your dollars are post-tax, you know, Roth. Mm-hmm. While you're in grad school, let's say you just leave your Roth alone and it's all Roth, but the only monies you go into grad school with that are pre-tax is that former company match. You could move those over incrementally for the 2 years you're in grad school and get that whole thing to be full Roth by the time you graduate with your MBA. So that every dollar you have for retirement is now all Roth.
Okay. I think I would have to do the math because I should mention I only started doing the Roth last year and I moved over money from my old employer too. So the majority of that, like $54,000, is pre-tax or like regular 401k.
You just told me an audible. Okay, we're going to change it. Do the full Roth for 2021.
Okay.
How much is pre-tax in that, the $50,000 and change 401k?
Probably like 45.
Okay. So here's what, this is, you should 100% hire an accountant. And when I would meet with them next year and I would find out what amount, tell them like this 2022, I'm going to be working half a year, right? Because I start school. 2023 is going to be a full year of school. That's going to be your big year. 2024, I'm going to do a half a year, right? Mm-hmm. And I would have your accountant map out how you convert that $45,000 into the Roth. So maybe it is something like, this is just a hypothetical example for those listening, but maybe it is maybe in 2023 we do 20,000 is what I'm going to say. So that leaves us with 25. So we do, 12 and a half your first year, 2022, 20,000, 2023, and then the other 12 and a half or remainder in 2024. So that by the end of 2024, that 45,000 is fully moved over into the Roth.
Okay. And then he or she, the accountant, will tell me about like tax. What my tax bill would be.
Correct. They can project it. Okay. So they can say in 2023, and then probably the advice would be, if you're going to have a job, I would have a job off the books. You know, cash would be key that year. So your only income that year would be the conversion of 20,000. And they should be able to say, okay, for that, if that's your only income and you're just a full-time student, you're going to owe $500 on that.
Okay. So this is going to school is going to help me in more way than one.
So definitely do the Roth for this year, for 2021 in your IRA. And then you're going to use your MBA experience so that when you come out of school, so you will be, 20?
I'll probably be 30.
You'll be 30? Okay. And then all of your investments by the time you are 30 will be 100% Roth. Look at you.
You're making me so excited. So that's good.
And it'll keep growing. So then probably by then, 63... Maybe it'll be closer, like, let's just see, 63. I'm just doing a little quick math here. It should be closer to like 80,000-ish, maybe more depending on the market by then.
Okay.
And you're going to be adding this year, so then it should definitely be, maybe it'll even be closer to 90. So that would be fantastic.
Okay, awesome. That sounds like a plan. I'll have to bookmark this and remember.
Yeah, so we would 100% get an accountant so that you can map this out. And accountants, you kind of have to give the specific instructions. They're not usually the most creative, or at least in my experience, they haven't been, because they meet with you after the year, right? So you're going to have to do this before. So in 2022, you're going to have to complete it by December 31st of 2022. You're not going to meet with your accountant to do the 2022 filing until 2023, right? Right. So they can't advise you on something that should have already occurred, right?
Right. Okay.
So you need to meet with your accountant in, like, I would say September or October of 2022, because it has to be done before the end of that year.
Is there any benefit to doing it like earlier in the year versus later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, that's with the latest I would do it, right? Because you don't want to be rushing to do it. There's paperwork involved. You want to make sure you have it figured out. The only advantage to you for doing it later in the year is you'll know what you've earned up to that point.
Oh, okay. True.
But you can do it in the beginning of the year. Because remember, once you do this, you can't undo it. Like, once you do it, if you say, oh man, the taxes are too high, I want to take that back, there are no backsees on this.
Okay. The tax part is scaring me, but I know it's for a good reason. Like, it'll only help me in the future, but it sounds a little intimidating.
It definitely is intimidating, but it's 100% worth the work to hire an accountant and run through these numbers. Because just to give you I love my examples of doubling your money every 10 years if you were making 7.2% compounding. So let's just assume that with your contribution this year with your company match and another half a year next year, that by the time you graduate school, we have this whole thing converted over into a Roth, that it's $100,000 between your Roth IRA and your Roth 401k, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not far off based on the numbers I'm looking at. So that means at age 30, age 40, you have 200,000, age 50, you have 400, age 60, you have 800, and at age 70, you have 1.6 million that's tax-free.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah, worth meeting with the accountant, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully having a better job too later, or I guess a higher income will.
Yeah, that's even considering that you're adding in the future. And it's good that you're doing the Roth now, and it would be good to get it all into Roth, because if you come out and you're earning more money, you're not going to be eligible to do the Roth IRA contribution.
Oh, yeah, true. Okay.
So that's another reason why you would want to get it all converted before you got out of MBA school.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. You have me looking so far ahead in the future, but this is so good for me.
Good. I'm so happy. I'm excited about this plan. I think that would be really awesome. It's kind of what I did. It's almost identical for what I did with my sister, because my sister had about almost exactly the same amount as you. She had a little bit less. You have more than she did. She had like 59 or 60,000, I think was the number. So you have more than her. And she went to law school, which was one additional year. And so we moved, it was exactly, I think it was 20,000, 19,000, 20,000, and 20,000 over the course of 3 years. And I think in total, she owed about, I want to say like a few hundred dollars for the entire, like over the course of 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's yeah. Awesome. So she was a slightly older, so her number's like 74 by the time she finished law school. So you're younger and you have more. But it's the same concept that I did for my sister.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm on this plan. Thank you so much, because I would have never thought of that or honestly researched it. But that makes me excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. We'll have to have you back on.
Yeah,
it feels like crazy to think that I might still be podcasting in 2024, but maybe we'll talk in 2022.
Hey, podcasting is growing, so
everyone's growing.
Yeah, I love podcasts. I love your podcast. I'm so happy to be here again. I'm saying it again.
Yay! No, this is wonderful. Well, so I'm excited for your plan, and we'll wrap it up for our lovely listeners. Hopefully, we'll do a nice little newsletter episode when your pod comes out about all the different words, recharacterization, contribution, and conversion. And if you'd like to learn more, you can follow us on Instagram at the Future Rich Podcast. And we are partnered with SUNY Ulster for our online classes, which you can find at www.financial.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.